the What's the Crack podcast with Anthony Martin.
Listen in live weekly on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
See whatsthecrack.co.uk and radioreverb.com for showtimes.
I'm here with Alva Reddy just after her Great Escape gig. Alva, how was that?
That was fantastic, yeah, great crowd and really nice atmosphere.
That was your second gig, wasn't it, of the festival itself?
It was, yeah, I played in the Bleach yesterday, so that was actually a great crowd as well, but not as hot.
Yeah, it is. Do you know what, it was full to the brim. It was the first, probably the first gig I've seen that busy.
Yeah, well, Brian Deedy was on before us and it was packed with a massive queue out the door, so that certainly helped.
And it's part of an Irish showcase today, and just Brian Deedy, yourself, Mark O'Reilly and Talos. It's a pretty strong contingent, isn't it?
Pretty amazing lineup. Like, if that was going on in Dublin, I'd say it'd be absolutely packed out.
But you're kind of one of the talk of the towns this week.
That's nice.
Whether you knew it or not. But,
yeah, well, hey, that's always good to hear, yeah.
Within the media and stuff, a lot of kind of people going to see you. Do these kind of showcases put any pressure on you, do you think, in terms of trying to get your best self out there in a half an hour?
I mean, you can only play as well as you play, and if you can't really do it in half an hour, like, I think it helps to have practiced a lot, and we played a lot of different ones back home. Like, in Ireland, we played Hardworking Glass Heroes, stuff like that, so we're kind of used to doing that kind of thing, and, I mean, if you can't get yourself out in half an hour, then you're not going to, and I always think, like, you can only play as well as you play, and people just have to like it or not like it.
Yeah, again, it kind of went down pretty well. I suppose your music is quite personal. It's quite intricate to you. Was that a conscious decision when you started into music?
Yeah. I always wrote songs from when I was a kid and stuff that were always super personal. So it just kind of, I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of contemporary stuff that my sisters were listening to. But then my mum, like, listened to traditional singer-songwriters. And I guess, like, I just, to me, there is no point in writing songs that weren't personal. Like, that's what I get out of it, is, like, kind of, like, the cheapest form of therapy, if you know what I mean. It's like, I always say, like, writing a song is like the most personal, ridiculous personal crossword, like just trying to make things fit in a way that's, like, super personal to you. So
I suppose it's a bit like therapy, you know, they tell people to go do diaries and stuff.
Yeah,
I suppose songwriting is a bit like that, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It's very cheap as well, yeah.
So you kind of started, well, you released kind of a song a few years back in 2014. You were working in an office up to then. What kind of made you decide?
Oh, I worked in an office still there 2 months ago.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Okay. I told you, it's my passion.
So are you missing the spreadsheets?
Oh, God, every day. I know, like, as in, it's good work, and, like, everyone I worked with is, like, super supportive. So when I said, like, I'm going on tour and stuff like that, they were like, oh, yeah, and if you need to come back. So
what kind of prompted that decision then to kind of focus on the music more?
Well, like, it's always good to have, I mean, everyone knows that, like, music is not a wonderful moneymaker these days, but I just kind of needed it for the money, but I literally could not work because I was playing, like, a gig pretty much every day or every second day for the whole month, last month and a half.
Yeah.
So you can't. I was, like, in Canada and all over the country and stuff like that, so I just had to
make that decision.
I was already 100% focused on music for the last 3 years, but I just worked as well. I think it's the same for a lot of musicians. They're, like, working and gigging and stuff like that. But, I was able to... I was lucky enough to be able to focus on it.
I suppose the good thing with office work, though, is it is 9-to-5.
Yeah, exactly. Well, 9-to-6 is mine. And, yeah, and also, like, I wrote, like, the lyrics for Relent. I wrote that at my desk.
Right, okay.
Because there's a lot of kind of time for me, other than answering phones, and there's a lot of downtime for me to, like, go through and, like, listen and be on my own and stuff like that. So, yeah, I actually, like, wrote a lot of lyrics at my desk and stuff over the years.
So while most people are watching YouTube videos of cats and dogs, you were writing kind of critically acclaimed music.
Yes, yeah, actually, that's a very nice way of putting it, yeah. That makes me sound so productive. I watched, like, not really cat and dog videos, do, like, Red Panda videos.
But, Red Panda?
Yeah, so I used to, they're very cute.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of good ones of them, but mostly just writing tunes, yeah.
At the moment, in recording music, are you kind of using a particular studio? Are you still doing it at home? Because I know you did some of the early stuff at home.
I did some of my early stuff in my friend Callum's house. That's like back like 3 or 4 years ago. And then I've been working with Dara Nolan, who was in the band called Sacred Animals. I've been working with him for the last 2 years because he recorded Hollow at Sea with me and he recorded Attachment to Memory with me as well. So big fan of him and we're close friends now. And, you know, it's a great environment as well. It's not like... He has a setup like just outside his house, so you kind of get in and you have like breakfast with his like family, his kids and everything. I know his kids and his wife, and you know you kind of sit out and chill out with them and stuff like that. So it's just a really nice environment to be in. It's not like get in, get out, and it's all super serious. It's like really, really, really laid back and perfect environment to be creative in, I think.
Yeah, quite relaxed. So kind of between songwriting and touring then, you've got a new EP out next week.
I do, the 24th of May, and I'm playing the Slaughtered Lamb in London the same night, so...
Cool. And what kind of gigs you've lined up this year? Because you did a lot of festivals in the past few years, yeah. Mm. Anything kind of lined up later in the summer?
Yeah, I mean, we're playing in Ireland, we're playing like Electric Picnic, Body and Soul, we're playing Cambridge Folk Festival, we're playing... playing a lot, like it's all up on my website. A lot of festivals between here and the UK, and hopefully doing a UK tour and an Irish tour again in autumn.
How have the UK audience has been kind of taking to your name as an Alva?
They always just put in brackets spelt or like pronounced Alva, and I'm like, yeah, it's great. Like in fairness, it's a tough name.
It is. It's kind of any kind of Irish name. Somebody was telling me recently Anya was kind of mispronounced by a lot of UK people.
Anya. Yeah. In fairness, it looks crazy. And like mine looks even crazier, but my mum was always like, if they can pronounce their Sharonan, that can pronounce Alva. And I was like, I don't know if that's exactly how it works, but it's a good way to think about it. Yeah. I mean, I don't mind people pronounce it wrong. It doesn't bother me at all. I mean, people have been pronouncing it wrong since I was a kid, so if you start up with I'd probably turn around anyway.
Yeah.
If someone's looking at me, I know they're talking to me. I'm from a family of four kids, so I'm used to be called the wrong name.
Cool. Alva, listen, the best luck with everything else this year.
Thanks very much.